Welcome to Lead for Clarity, where we help you, your team, and your organization get to their next level with clarity and the ability to focus on what matters. My name is Shondell Sutherland, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Melanie Montgomery. And boy, do we have a special guest in the house. And Melanie, I want you to introduce her.
Yes, we have Sky Mercer here, who is an HR consultant and longtime friend. I'm so excited. Every time Sky and I talk, we just love talking about leadership and HR things and how to help people. And it's always exciting. And I leave there passionate and ready to go take on the world. So I'm excited for you to share some of that energy with our listeners. And maybe you can tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Oh, thank you so much, Melanie and Shondell. I was beyond elated when I got invited to speak with you, Melanie, like even if it wasn't for a podcast, but since it's a podcast, I'm even more excited. I am an HR consultant. I work primarily with nonprofits and small business. I support leaders all over the US through monthly retainer HR consulting, leadership training, employee handbooks, and I even offer one-off schedule pay-as-you-go HR strategy sessions.
I love that. And we love partnering with HR folks because we think we help you and you help us. And it's a positive win-win. I've had HR friends for decades. And so we are happy to have you on the podcast because I think that you're going to have a lot of good stories for us and a lot of good insight. We've been working through the cycle of healthy growth. And I'm sure you've seen it and maybe you could share where you've seen companies grow in a healthy way and an unhealthy way. So we're really excited to hear maybe some of your experiences. And what we're going to talk about today is when a company hits that progress phase. And that means they've got through the pain, they've done the work, they put some plant in, and they're all of a sudden seeing some results. But you and I both know that they are not done yet and that pruning is coming around the corner. Now, the problem is when they don't know that, right? So I was wondering, Sky, just if you have seen the two companies that you've seen, one in the process and one in the process of misery. Do you have any good stories for us?
Yes. And I love the model that you're using and that I get the opportunity to talk about progress. So I have seen it go both ways. One way is where the company doesn't quite get to the progress phase because they haven't done the work that they needed to do. And in particular, the area that I focus on is employees, HR, making sure that you're setting up your organizational culture in a way that's not only compliant with federal and state law, but also in a way that reflects your values. And so the companies that I've seen that hit that progress phase and do so really well have the foundational architectural pieces in place, like employee handbooks, like their core values, their mission statement, really living those core values within their employment-related policies, having pay systems, benefit systems. So all of those things are set up really well. The companies that I've seen or organizations that I've seen that aren't doing so well in the progress phase are the ones that kind of like fly by the seat of their pants when it comes to HR practices. So I'll figure it out when we get there. No, we don't need a handbook yet. We only have one person, or, you know, kind of like not thinking through the strategy of how, how they want their employees to feel as well, and how they want that organizational culture to like transition like into how they serve their clients. So I worked with both for sure, and have seen some successes and some failures.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm curious if you can help our listeners to know more about what they should be doing in this progress stage to make sure that they make it to the profit stage, especially as it relates to those HR type components.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am really, really privileged and grateful to work with a great group of clients right now as my monthly retainer HR consulting clients. They're clients that are typically not at the size yet where they have an in-house HR person, so they contract with me. And I'm pretty much in the progress phase with almost all of my clients, where we're at the point where we sit down on an annual basis and map out their people strategy. So we go through a year-end HR checklist that includes like what compliancy type items do we need to have on the radar? What are some employee experience items we need to have on the radar? What are payroll benefits? All of those items that come into the realm of HR. And we go through a, okay, where are we at with recognizing work anniversaries? Where are we at with this new law that just came down? And then we map out a strategy for the year. So it's not perfect. They're not necessarily at the point further in your model, but they're at the point of really having a solid people strategy on an annual basis to really support their business goals.
You used a word I'm super excited for our listeners to have defined. I think it fits perfect into the progress when we're acknowledging success, we're checking in, we're growing, we're making sure our people are happy. And you use the word experiences. And I'd like you to explain that because that this is definitely a new word that we're using in our HR and consulting coaching world. And some of our listeners that are been listening for a while and running business for a while may not quite understand the term. And I think you're a perfect person to explain it.
Ah, you're so kind. So, yeah, I think of employee experience in a similar way that for-profit companies think of customer experience. In my opinion, because of where we are as a nation economically and where we are in terms of maybe having a lower birth rate as a nation, not having enough people to fill positions. I think employee experience is as important as customer experience. Employee experience is, how does my employer make me feel? How does my employer translate their values that they implement for customers and participants into my employment as an employee? Like, how are those values showing up? And when I think about employee experience and organizational culture, I like to describe it in any way that resonates most deeply with that company or organization. So sometimes it's an ecosystem, like we're building an ecosystem. I work with conservation organizations, so that really resonates. Or it's a feeling, you know, that really resonates with the nonprofits, especially social service nonprofits that I work with. Like, how do we want our employees to feel? What are we going to do to help them feel that way? And then also a community is another way to think in terms of organizational culture and creating employee experience. We have a community here. And so we're creating a community with structures in place and this experience of working in this community. That's what I think of in terms of employee experience.
I love that. Thank you so much for highlighting that, Shondell, and giving such a great example, Sky. That helps our listeners to really understand what the goal is. I think that really defines organizational culture and morale and all those things just in better words for people to really get and start working towards, which is what we're all about here. So I'm curious because in the progress stage, one thing we like to do is we like to acknowledge success, celebrate milestones, really make sure people are feeling valued and cared for. How might you suggest that organizations or teams or leaders start implementing these pieces of celebration?
I am so glad you highlighted this and that this is something that both you and Shondell have already spoken to is accomplishments celebrating success. I think that celebrating success and looking backward in order to look forward is critical. And so now that we're at New Year, one of my favorite ways to team build is to make our accomplishments visible as a team. So whether it's a poster board and we all put up sticky notes of the top three things we're most proud of, whether it's we do a drawing, a group drawing together online or in the office of here's how we feel about our accomplishments this year, whether it's we do 30 days of recognizing others' achievements, like what have you, there are so many ideas and ways to get creative in celebrating our accomplishments. And I think that has to be part of your annual people strategy. I think that doing it quarterly, checking in our one-on-one meetings of, you know, what are you most proud of from this last week? Recognizing the good is so important because our brains as human beings, we're always problem solving, right? We're like looking for the negative. We're looking for what cropped up that we need to quash. Where's the weed in my garden? Like, Whereas we should focus on, oh my gosh, that flower is blooming awesome despite the weeds, you know? So I think having that part of celebrating accomplishments just ingrained in your culture as a workplace is critical to your success.
Oh my goodness, Sky, we think so much alike. No wonder we're all hanging out here
I
together, because
don't, no wonder Melanie's working with you. Like that is always an indicator to me of like that you care about values and employee experience if Melanie's working with you. So like, yeah, I don't even have to know you. So yeah.
I love it. Well, I love what you're saying, and I think you're catching exactly our heart for this. I think there's such a key when we celebrate these milestones of then getting people ready for the next stage, because we know, and you know probably, Sky, that as we have progress and before we get to that profit stage, we have to prune things. And this is the time to take that breath, but also realize, like, hey, let's get healthy because it's coming. So what do you
Yes.
see coming in 2024 in that progress stage? You could really help our listeners understand some things that they could prepare for.
Yes. Oh, goodness. So in the HR realm, I think one of the biggest things to be paying attention to annually, I'm actually posting this on my blog and putting it out to my newsletter tomorrow, is a 2024 handbook update checklist. There were a number of pieces of legislation that were passed this past year, and a lot of them impact every single employer. So things like lactation accommodation through the PUMP Act impacts every single employer. So I think really paying attention to some of those critical components is very, very important to get ready for 2024. I also think when you said the word pruning, you know, and pruning back, and I think creating a stop doing list is also very important, whether you're in HR or not. Looking back at the past year, and if you're looking to streamline and get ready for the next phase, I think really paying a lot of attention to where you can group like tasks and get things done more quickly, where you can repurpose content or ideas or things you might be working on, and then also where you can stop doing things. And I think that using the model that you all use there at Shondell helps people to focus on that because you do have to prune back in order to progress. And so a lot of that takes the humility and ability to self-reflect and go, what did I do that was kind of a waste of time that I shouldn't do this next year? So I think there are some definitely some HR components, you know, that you want to have on your radar, like the compliance, like your employee engagement survey and action planning. There's some real tactical things, but then there's also some real behavioral, workplace cultural things like the stop doing list and streamlining that's really, really important to build that capacity to be able to make it to the next phase.
I love that. You know, it's funny because in our cycle of misery, which is the other side where everyone is just trying to survive and we don't even like going over there, but we all do. It's this thing about being busy, doing stuff. And we were talking about the fact that you're not even confident to change. Do you see any of that in that progress stage where you're just going to keep doing things over and over and over, hoping to get a result, but need to go? And I love your stop doing list. That's what we do with our clients as well, you know? So anything there that you see trends with that people just can't let go of?
That's a great question. I do think that as humans, there's a lot of comfort in the this is the way we've always done things. So some of the things that I see organizations holistically having trouble letting go of, one in particular that comes to mind, and I know Melanie and I have talked about this in the past, they're letting go of different ways to do performance reviews. Like I'm still seeing a lot of traditional thinking around performance reviews and thinking that that's the most important part of performance management. So I'm seeing some like hesitancy of letting go of the fact that no, we don't have to do the form. There are other ways to have conversations and motivate. I also am seeing, you know, some trends and hesitancy in letting go of The need to be in person. We're seeing that cultural shift as a nation back to, the CEOs of the major Fortune 500s going, nope, need you back in the office. Whereas, I work primarily with nonprofits and purpose-driven small businesses. And in some cases, hybrid work actually really does make sense. And so, really approaching leadership from a place of how do I manage, both remotely and in person. I think that you bring up a really, really important point, and I just so appreciate this about your insight here, in that it isn't always about doing. Sometimes we just need to sit and think. Sometimes we need to build space in and really think before we react or respond. I still see a lot of reactionary leadership. I'm certainly guilty of it, rather than letting go for a moment of the we all must respond to each other immediately philosophy of the US workplace culture and going, actually, if I take a moment to think here about what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do next and give this a powerful pause, I'm going to actually save myself time on the back end. I think of like emails that are going back and forth, 20 times, and sometimes email and written word is more comfortable, but like I just think sometimes if we just stop for a moment, thought about what we're really trying to do or what problem we're trying to solve, and then maybe have more thoughtful responses, we save ourselves a ton of time. And I think that's part of pruning as well is identifying how we communicate and how we're going to move forward in our communication patterns as well.
That was fantastic.
Yes, you have so much great advice to give and things to share. That really leads into one other component of this phase, which is that we really have to be checking in with our team and checking in, how are they doing? What are they struggling with? What are they seeing in addition to acknowledging their success? What are some ways that you would recommend that an organization or a leader spend time checking in on how their teams are doing and what they might need?
I love this question. I think before we get to the check-in phase, we first have to start with learning each other's preferences for communication. I'm sure there will be a time when I lead a team again in the future. And the first thing I'm going to do, and the thing that I consult all my managers that I work with to do, is do an individual workplace preferences questionnaire. So I'm talking about the questions that you want to know upfront about preferences around communication, preferences around checking in, preferences around recognition. Not saying that everyone's going to always be able to meet each other's preference, because part of doing the individual workplace questionnaire is finding areas where we can make sure each other's preferences are met. So starting there, like how does the person prefer to check in? How do you as a supervisor prefer to check in? Then once you have a feel for each other's preferences, really setting up a structure. I really believe in frameworks. So it doesn't have to look exactly the way I say it has to look, but I do believe you need a framework for one-on-one check-ins and for team meetings. And I think meetings have gotten a really bad rap because we think of meetings as like top down, the leader pontificating. And yeah, they were that way. But most meetings that I'm a part of or that my clients host are more interactive and collaborative, and they're also working meetings. I think having a structure for that one-on-one check-in, and there's a range of options, right? It could be as simple as like what Marcus Buckingham says, which is, what are you working on? How can I support you? All the way up to a written agenda framework that has like three things that you go over every single time. What's a big win that you're excited about? What's a problem you need to solve? What are updates that I need to hear about as your supervisor? What are updates that I should be giving you as the employee I'm working with?
Oh, that is fantastic. Now we would add in adding a clarity report so you know each other's communication styles. So that we would add that one in, but I love what you're talking about. In fact, Melanie, we must put a link to her blog on both of those things she just talked about because those are great tools. I'm so intrigued. I feel like I want to learn more from you, Skye. Thank you for sharing your incredible wisdom. Well, it's time to land this plane. What's the one thing you want our listeners to walk away from what we have talked about? Melanie?
I think the one thing I would want people to take away from all that Sky said, and there was so much, it was hard for me to just pick one, really leaning into that employee experience. And what does that mean? How are you making your team feel? And how can you be making them feel in the way that you want? How are you connecting your values back to your employee experience? I loved how you explained that and described that. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. Good. Sky, what's one thing you really want our listeners to walk out with?
Your people are the most important component of your business. I mean, spoken like a true HR person, right? Like that's the main thing for me though, when I talk with people is treat your people strategy as important as you would treat your financial strategy.
I am in full agreement to that. And 2 decades of doing this proves that to be very true. Well, I'm just going to add that I love the fact that we need to rethink our performance plans, and we are full in agreement on that. And we actually use this model that most of your performance plan should be based on your values and how are we doing that versus the performance. So I appreciated our oneness in that. And so again, we're going to put in our show notes how to find Sky, and we've got resources coming at you all year long. So you can find us at shondellgroup.com. Be sure and subscribe or follow us. And we look forward to more questions from y'all. We love our you listeners and we want to hear from you. And so Sky, as we always tell our listeners, as we leave, be the best you can be today.
Bye-bye.